Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. We'll also post a link to the Lion Share website. That's where you can keep up to date with a lot of Dana's trades, his thoughts on the markets. Dana, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets. We chat every 2 weeks. It was about 2 weeks ago where the markets went through a bit of a bounce. The S&P reached a low of 3810, and then the following week popped back up to right around this level it's at now, right around, let's say, 4100, maybe a little over 4100. The fact of the matter is, that's all the bounce that it looks like we have gotten here. We've moved sideways since that bounce happened, and that has a lot of people thinking, well, there's another leg down coming here. This very well could have been just a dead cat bounce or a bear market rally. Dana, what do you think? Is it too early to say that this is nothing more than a dead cat bounce, or do you think a true bottom was put in just a couple weeks ago?
Honestly, the jury's still out as far as we're concerned. I think as much as there is ever easy money, the easy money for the bear market bounce has been made. I don't know how many people were in there aggressively buying the lows a couple weeks ago. As we mentioned at the time, we were actually back on May 12th and I think May 20th. But the easy money from that bounce has been made. Now we're into levels of chart resistance across the board on the various indices. And like you mentioned, we spoke 2 weeks ago and we were just getting up to those levels then. Basically run in place for the last 2 weeks. So jury is still out whether there is another up leg to this rally. Would not surprise us. We have not seen the type of thrust from the breadth indicators or the risk indicators that we monitor to suggest that there's a major rally or major bull market on the doorstep here. But at the same time, there's enough momentum. We did get stocks got hammered enough into those May lows that certainly a little bit more upside to maybe the next layer of resistance would not be out of the question. So at this point, we are, playing it close to the vest. We bought aggressively, like I said, a couple weeks ago at this point, trimming some profits, taking some profits into some resistance levels, but waiting for that next big move before we make any more substantial portfolio moves.
Well, Dana, you had mentioned off mic before we started recording that you were also taking this opportunity to look at particular sectors or ETFs that weren't really showing you momentum anymore. And now that they've bounced, this is a good time to kind of hit the escape hatch on them. Would you mind unpacking that concept for investors, just how you're managing your portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. So into the bounce, there are basically a two-pronged strategy into this bounce. The first was, okay, we bought some significant long exposure at the lows in May into the bounce, which come to fruition, like I mentioned. First thing to do would be to take some profits on the those tickers that you bought at the lows as you did get that bounce. The other prong, though, is to take those long positions in your portfolio that did break down, within that bear market. And we had, plenty of those positions as well that did break key technical support, ran down to maybe some more major technical support, but did suffer substantial technical breakdowns. And from that criteria, from the relative strength criteria, really do not warrant any positions in our long portfolio. So the other bit of our strategy into this bounce would be to weed out those areas that have broken down, those positions that did break down that, a couple of weeks ago, we didn't want them in our portfolio. But at the same time, when we're plummeting at that point and the fear indicators are spiking through the roof, you don't want to panic and just dump everything at that point. Fortunately, we've been patient enough, waited for a nice bounce. Now, many of those areas, many of those positions that have broken down are back up, rallying towards areas of resistance, maybe even those breakdown areas themselves. And this represents a better opportunity to get out of some of those long positions that, like I said, no longer warrant any position on our long side of our portfolio. So we are selling some of those positions if they do end up reasserting themselves in terms of the relative strength, in terms of the technical scans that we do. We're happy to get back into them, but for now, as they no longer represent or display the type of quantitative criteria that we want in a long position or portfolio, taking the opportunity to sell those. And it's just another part of the process, the rotational process of a market cycle. You know, the leadership always changes throughout each different cycle, and this is this happens. You know, the next up cycle will certainly demand or certainly entail different leadership from different groups, and this is just one way of weeding out probably yesterday's heroes or yesterday's relative strength leaders, which will probably not be leaders in the next upcycle. And once that new upcycle does emerge, then we can identify or locate those new leaders. But at least into the bounce is a better time to get rid of the stuff that's broken down, the stuff that you no longer want in your long portfolio.
Okay, so it sounds like still very much sell the rip type of strategy. And also, to your point, if you have any of those stocks that you look at in your portfolio and you just say, why am I still holding this? I really need to clear this out. Now might be a good time to clear that out and rotate that into some stronger sectors. Talking about leadership, though, the energy sector seems to really be the only one outside of the U.S. dollar that continues to move higher. And oil recently just broke out. Let's start with the oil component in the energy sector. Dana, how much further could oil run?
You know, it's hard to say, but I don't like to, put a target or put a limit on it. But the trend is definitely still up. So that's all we care about at this time. So we want to maintain a position, a long position in oil. We want to maintain a long position in energy stocks as the as the trend continues higher. You get higher highs, higher lows. Not sure where that will end at this point. Our strategy is the same with respect to, you know, energy with oil and energy equities. It's, you know, buy the dips as things run, as we're getting some semi-parabolic type moves in energy stocks and oil itself. Once it gets up to some quantitative targets, we'll take some profits. It's a good idea. You know, you get these parabolic moves to take some money off the table, put some in the bank. If we do get a pullback, you know, we're still in the buy the dip mentality as far as energy goes, as far as oil goes, energy stocks, like I said. So we're happy to continue to buy the dips, but definitely not chasing the price of oil higher, definitely not chasing energy stocks higher. But like I said, taking profits along the way. If we do get a pullback, then we're happy to buy the dip.
Well, Dana, let's maybe just spend another minute here on the oil sector and the oil stocks, just because there's a lot of investors that are in the energy space and a lot of them bought at lower levels. And they're wondering, since it has gone parabolic, at what point should I get out of that? You mentioned that there's some quantitative levels you'd be looking for, or maybe some Fibonacci extensions you'd be looking at for these to reach before you would start maybe pulling more profits. But at what point, when a sector is running hot, and we'll just use energy as an example, and it's going parabolic, it's always hard to know how far it'll go to the upside, but at what point will you shift from buying the dips to then selling the rips and then getting out of that position?
Well, once it breaks down, you know, technically, you know, if we're still in an uptrend, we're still seeing higher highs, higher lows, we'll still be in the buy the dip mentality. If we do hit some of those Fibonacci retracements, or if we're hitting all-time highs, if we hit some key Fibonacci extension levels, we will take profits, but we're never going to bail out of all of it at the very top. Unless it's not at all-time highs, unless we're hitting some major resistance, some retracement levels well below the former highs. If it's hitting all-time highs, we're not going to get out at the out of all of it at the very peak. You know, we'll continue to ride until we have some sort of a technical breakdown. Like I said, hopefully we take some profits along the way at some good points. And once we do pull back, we'll still be buying the dips until we have some, like I said, some sort of a technical breakdown and some sort of a quantitative reason for getting out of it wholesale. But until that happens, as long as we're in uptrend, as long as we're hitting, like I said, higher highs, higher lows, we'll be happy to be in the buy the dip mode. So that's basically where we're at right now in terms of oil prices, as well as, like I said, energy stocks. So that's our approach at the moment there.
So, Dana, what about some of the other energy sectors? Let's start with uranium then, because the uranium stocks, they went on a run. Uranium price is much higher than it has been over the last decade plus. Do you see uranium still as a bullish market?
Uranium, and there are a couple others in that sector or subsector that did suffer some breakdowns. Some of them are more egregious than others, but uranium is one that, like I mentioned, some of those long positions of the portfolio that did break down, especially a couple weeks ago, we were wishing we're not part of our portfolio still, but have since bounced. Something like URA, the uranium ETF, we had a decent size position in our portfolio. That broke down, you know, about a month ago, did bottom out around 19, which was a decent level. So at the lows in May, so we definitely did not want to panic and sell out there. We thought a decent, at least a short-term bounce was coming. So URA bounced up to a spot around 23.5 that we're thinking might be a reasonable target. Got there the other day, so we did sell our uranium position at that point. Like I said, it's not the worst technical chart out there. It's possible that it continues up, but it's got some resistance to get through at the moment. So if it does, it'll do so without us. If it puts itself back into a leadership role, we're happy to revisit that sector and get back in. But at this point, we're out of uranium at, you know, a decent price around 23.5 on URA, much better than panicking down when it dropped below 19 bucks a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Dana. So another good example of using the bounce to get out of a sector that you wanted to get out, but not panicking at the low and waiting for the big bounce up to resistance to exit. What about a sector like lithium, where it's fueling that electric energy, that battery narrative? Do you have any thoughts on that market?
Yeah, that's another one that, it's been a trendy market, but technically, from a technical basis, probably should have been out of it earlier in the year. We held on. Got another breakdown in April. Again, it's another one. It got hammered in late April, early May. Did not want to panic at that point because we saw a broad equity market bounce coming. So that's another one we still have a position on, but with substantial resistance above, that's another one we're looking to edge out of. Probably LIT, the common ETF. That's the position we have. Any bounce up towards 80 bucks, and we'll probably be selling the rest of that position. There are a couple other kind of trendy tickers that had similar type runs earlier in the year, something like the rare earth sector. REMX was another ETF that actually broke out nicely in late March, early April, then immediately collapsed. That's another one that broke support, bottomed in May, but it's bouncing into some resistance up here around 103, 104. We sold the rest of that position. And another one, the agriculture stocks that we talked about a lot during the first part of the year, even into, again, April, it was hitting new highs, all-time highs. MOO, the ticker symbol on the agribusiness ETF, that turned around and broke some support as well. Bouncing back, that's another one we're looking to maybe get out of as well into a little bit of bounce higher, maybe up around the 101, 102 level. But just like you mentioned, just taking advantage of this bounce to get out of some of those positions that maybe are not working anymore in your portfolio. And once we get a little bit more clarity, maybe a little bit more bullish action in the overall market, then you can revisit those, or maybe probably more likely there's other going to be new leaders in the new up part of the cycle that you're probably going to want to be in, as opposed to some of the stuff that worked in the past but is no longer working.
Dana, how worried do, I guess, generalist investors need to be that if the energy sector starts to fall, like oil in particular, or any of the other energy sectors that have been running, that it really takes the markets down with it?
Well, I don't think it'll be necessarily that energy takes the market down with it. I think it'll be the fact that the broad market is so weak that it finally brings energy down. You see in the meat of bear markets, you know, when the selling reaches a crescendo and there truly is no place to hide, that's when everything gets taken down. And I guess to your point, at least energy has been able to avoid that up to now. Yeah, it got really hammered in 2020, obviously during COVID, and maybe it, you know, took the brunt of the selling back then and pulled ahead maybe some of the selling that some of the other sectors have seen this year. So maybe that was part of the reason it was able to avoid that. A lot of the selling had been done already. But I think once the next leg of the bear market really takes hold and you see, you know, like I said, the meat of the selling, something like whether it's COVID crash or, you know, late 2008, summer of 2002, once you see, you know, the selling really, the waterfall type selling really hit, that's when there's no place to hide. That's when they'll probably come for energy and basically every other sector in the market. So I think it'll be at that point, it'll be a case of taking down the energy sector along with everything else. And at that point, it'll be a good sign that there's nowhere else to hide.
All right, Dana. Great segment, man. Thank you very much for sharing your insights on the energy sector, really the only sector that seems to be doing well, and breaking down this potential dead cat bounce, bear market rally, whatever you want to call it. Who knows? But fact of the matter is the rally kind of petered out really quickly and didn't have a whole lot of steam to the upside. Still very much in a downtrend for the markets. Dana, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure, guys.